Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student from Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena, and I am a student of MC Smith. I am also a student... I am also from Hudson.
True story. You're a student of Hudson.
Yes, I am a student.
You learn so much.
Yes.
In life. Mm-hmm. Just walking down the street.
Sometimes. I learn so much that I just forget how to speak.
It's true. It is hard sometimes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Even though you know English very well.
Thank you. Yes. Well, we're about a week in, but we want to wish everybody a Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. Welcome to 2020.
Happy New Year.
And also, Happy Three Kings Day if this were being published on the 6th.
Yeah, we're recording on the 6th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's Three Kings Day. Can you tell us what Three Kings Day is?
The story behind it is when Jesus was a baby, he was visited by three kings, and they all came on camels, I'm pretty sure, and they each gave Jesus a present, or they each gave Jesus like three presents, I can't remember. So that's how Three Kings Day is. But on Three Kings Day, basically you wake up, under your Christmas tree is like gifts. And lucky for us, we like almost never take down our Christmas tree. On like February, we like take down our Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. But like the point of it is that they give you presents like when you're little, three or more. Only three. I don't know when they just narrow down your gifts, but they give you gifts on the 6th, basically.
Cool.
And is it, so we all know that Santa comes for Christmas and gives gifts.
Yeah.
Do the three kings come for Three Kings Day, or is it just like in honor of their gifts?
They like come and leave gifts under your tree.
Hmm. Do they come all at once? Like you get three gifts on Three Kings Day?
Well, yeah.
They don't all like join together and buy one gift.
Well, like maybe.
Who knows what they're up to this year?
Yeah, I don't know, because like it could just be them being like, okay, let's get this, and then we'll have to all do it, so we'll all have to like make our own separate gifts. But I'm really, really wondering what my dad got. It's a very small box.
You'll have to report back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just spent the holidays in Spain.
Ooh.
Where they
Ooh.
Celebrate Three Kings Day.
Cool.
And there was like one of the plazas near where we were staying had three kings, like little statue kind of things, like temporary statues.
Oh.
But one of my cousins lives in Spain. And so her family celebrates Three Kings Day. And my sister and her family are still there. They haven't gone home yet. And so they are celebrating Three Kings Day today, too, for the first time.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, speaking of
happy
gifts.
Three Kings Day to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a really cool book that I could talk about on the radio.
Was this a Christmas present?
Yes. It was not one of the things I asked for. And I don't say that because it's not good. I say that because my dad actually found it and just decided to get it for me. And I'm very happy that he did.
It's cool when that works out
very,
that way.
It's very cool. I'm kind of into Pokemon. I don't think I've ever talked about it before on the
it's confession time
radio, but I had like little books about them. I had little books about all the Pokemon, like little mini things. I had the walkthrough books for the games I had on my DSi. I had all that stuff. I was kind of obsessed with it for a bit. And my dad got me this book called Poke Anatomy, An Unofficial Guide by Christopher Stoll, who is an artist on Instagram. And I think 500 copies were made. My dad said it was like probably a rare thing, kind of. And basically inside is all illustrations about like the internal physiology of Pokemon. Like there's cross sections and stuff.
The inner workings.
Yeah, it's actually really, really cool. So it's just the first generation of Pokemon. So it's the first games. Like, I don't remember what the first games were. I think I got the second game, but I don't remember what the first games were, but it was basically that first generation. You know, if you watch the TV show, it's the first generation of the TV show, basically the first season. And it has all those first generation Pokemon in it. This is basically back when, like, the Pokemon, there was only, like, 100 and so of them. Now there's, like, 800. Not all 800 aren't in here. Mm-hmm. It's just those 100 and so in the first generation. And I'm just really taken away by the illustrations. Like, they're really detailed and look like the kind of thing you'd see in an actual, like, field guide about animals. This guy basically wrote a field guide about fictional animals, and because he had pretty much all the freedom to do whatever because they're fictional, mm-hmm. you see things like Pikachu that can, like, generate electricity, him, like, writing about the electrodes in its body, and it's just, it's really fun to see how this guy got creative and, like, research how, like, if they were real, how they might have these abilities in real life. So it was just really cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Pokemon?
In this book, mm-hmm. it's Eevee. In the overall Pokemon universe, it's Wooloo. I love Wooloo.
Did you learn anything interesting in the book about your favorite character that's in the book?
Eevee, I haven't read Eevee's entry yet. I need to find it. At the point of this book, the generation it was published, there's only 3 evolutions in there for mm-hmm. Eevee. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty cool.
How do you feel about Pokemon, Lena?
I feel like it's great. Yeah.
Not the biggest fan, but not a hater.
Yeah, because, like, I remember in my childhood, I only watched up until, like, episode 10 or 11, and then I just went to Pokemon XY. Now I'm like, I totally get this.
I was part of the generation that was, like, Pokemon Black and White. So now I hear about XY and Sun and Moon and Sword and Shield, and I'm just like, what's happening? Why are there so many? There's so many. But I played, like, Heart Gold and Soul Silver and Black and White. And those were the ones I played. And then I was like, cool, that's good enough for 5 years.
My Pokemon knowledge was a bit rusty. But back when I was in college in the, like, early 2000s, I babysat for a kid who was, like, super into Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot at that time. I could probably name most of them at that point.
I used to be able to name all of them before all the new generations came out. And I missed that ability. I saw Detective Pikachu, and I have it on DVD now, and me and my friend went into that movie thoroughly prepared to make fun of it the entire time. We thought it was going to be dumb, but then, like, all the Pokemon started showing up, and we both, like, started, like, fangirling, like, this Pokemon love that was, like, dormant inside us for so long just came back, and we were like, oh my god, look at them all, they're so cute! we were obsessed.
That looks like a fun book to read.
Yeah.
Good job, Izzy.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay, wait, quick question. Mm-hmm. Emily, what is one of your favorite Pokemons?
I don't remember them. The only ones that I remember are, like, Pikachu and Charizard. Those are the only ones I remember. I could look at pictures of them and be like, cute, cute, cute. Like that one. Neat. Yay.
Yeah.
But I don't know their names off the top of my head.
Yeah, Wooloo's one of the newer ones. It's literally just a sheep, but I love it.
Sounds nice.
So cute.
Yeah.
I remember when Pokemon Go came out and was, like, huge.
Mm-hmm. I still have it on my phone. I haven't used it in, like, a year.
So they tried to put the gyms at sort of cultural institutions.
Oh, yeah, so that was a bit of a controversy for a while.
Well, libraries were prioritized as one of the locations, but it was right when we were moving to our new building, and so they put the gym at the old library.
Oh, no.
And we kept trying to get them to change it, and they ignored us.
I know.
They're probably getting too many help requests for things that actually mattered, from players.
I know there's a gym in the post office, by the post office. We know that.
Oh, right by where we are.
Yeah, actually, it is right across the street.
I don't go to gyms because I don't have, like, data that's, like, forever where you can always have internet no matter mm-hmm. where you go. But I have to actually connect to their internet.
Yeah, Pokemon
it's
was
such a hassle.
That was a data killer. Like, my cellular data ran out real fast when I was playing Pokemon Go.
Oh.
It was, like, a battery killer, too.
That's why libraries are good locations for gyms, because you can connect to the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I love going there because whenever I go there, I always charge my wireless headphones the day before I go into the library. And then I just go in there and watch, like, half an hour, it's fun or something like that.
Fun times.
Yeah. And one of the other books I got, not technically kind of for Christmas. I mean, I used a gift card I got for Christmas to get it at Barnes & Noble. I think it counts. Mm-hmm. I got the three newest Black Butler mangas, which is wild, and I literally cannot talk about them without spoiling the entire series since it's like the 20-somethingth books. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say I got those, and they are very good. Awesome. And I got Happy Sugar Life, the manga, which is an anime I talked about, I think, real briefly, either on or off the radio after we finished recording a couple weeks ago, which is a illustrated... Look, so it's really subversive, and I love things that subvert expectations, which is why I wanted to get into this manga. It is basically, the cover is very pastel pink, very sugary and happy and very, very girly. Typically, it's looking at it, someone who didn't know the story could easily mistake it for something like Sailor Moon and buy it for a child, which is unfortunate. But,
no children allowed?
It's actually a horror manga, so some of the stuff in it involves kidnapping, gaslighting. It's very, very dark, but I think if, like, you were mature enough, someone, like, around 15 could probably read it, maybe even younger, it depends. It's just, if you acknowledge, like, the subversive stuff in it, it's very interesting to read because you pick this up thinking it's going to be very cute and sweet. Even the title is called Happy Sugar Life, and I wish I had remembered to bring it with me so that I could say who the author is. And then it turns out to be this very dark, almost thriller horror kind of story. And I believe there are two other issues of it out currently, and I only got the first one so far.
Awesome. I see that Lena has some graphic novels, comics with her.
It's not a graphic novel.
one of the ones you had with you is.
Yeah, it's Guts that you're going to tell them about.
But that is a graphic novel.
Yeah. No, it isn't. It's a manga.
No, the other Guts is.
Manga.
Manga is basically a graphic novel
from Japan. I think it counts. Yeah.
And also, it's like basically just other side. You flip it over, then you bring it backward.
It's one of those dual books where you flip it over and read it backwards. There's a second story, and they end halfway in between.
Oh, that's interesting.
I never liked books like that. They always annoyed me. I hated having to flip over and read it backwards.
It takes so much energy. To flip it over. No, just kidding.
Don't make fun of me.
It's so exhausting.
It was just the idea that people would be looking at me and thinking I'm reading a book backwards that made me not like to read them.
Maybe
like,
they think you have a lot of skills. They're like, whoa, she can read backwards, forwards,
backwards,
upside down, all sorts of ways.
Once I was reading a book and I'm like, why does this look weird? And I turned to the next page and then I realized, wait, I'm reading this upside down.
I've read some manga before where they had translated it to be read front to back. And so they put, like, at the back of the book, they put a notice being like, this has been translated.
They have those notices.
Don't start in the end.
They have those notices where it's like, you can read this the correct way.
Mine's at the back, says, much appreciated, thank you for getting the synology, have fun, and then Torchwick, the bad guy, is like, this is the last page.
Aww.
Ruby reads right to left.
That's cute.
Yeah.
I have,
So this is Ruby, which I think you've talked about briefly on the show, but for our listeners, it's spelled R-W-B-Y.
Yeah. Yes. And it's a manga. And it says official manga anthology, I think it is, but like...
Anthology.
Yeah, anthology, but like my brother says he doesn't like the series because like, I'm pretty sure he doesn't like this one because it's like fan-made. And also maybe it's because of like all the fan art that's in here.
I think it's cool that they include fan art in there. It's, like, really interactive, almost. I like it when shows and media do that.
Yeah.
Well, I think especially with
it's
manga.
It's kind of like...
Oh, sorry.
It's kind of like the book I have here. This book is fan-made. Like, it's not published by Nintendo or... I don't know who owns Pokemon. Someone probably in the world does. It's not published by, like, those official people.
Yeah.
I think because manga has such a... There's such a, like, style of manga art. I mean, obviously, there's some diversity, but there's some similarities across different manga. And I feel like a lot of fans of manga like to draw and like to try to draw in that style.
Yeah.
So I think it's nice that they include fan art in it too.
Real hard to draw in like a manga-ish style, which is like, you know, the big eyes. I don't know.
There's something about the face shape.
And I hated it. I hated drawing in that style. I realized after a while that, like, man, I can't do this, and I don't like this. And so I kind of, like, developed my own art style-ish, yeah, kind of. Sure. I still resort back to drawing dragons sometimes.
I cannot.
Which is the one thing I've drawn since I think pre-K was dragons, and so I have mastered the art of drawing dragons. I learned how to draw humans after learning how to draw dragons.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It was one of my special interests. I love dragons, and I still do. And so that was my obsession, and to now even obsession. I'm redrawing a comic I wrote in third grade. Just for fun, when I have art block, I go back to that, like, little lined notebook, which makes me cringe that I drew this in a lined notebook. But, and I just sketch panels without the dialogue. Some of the dialogue is weird because I wrote it in third grade, but, like, there's a lot of sentence fragments, so I just draw it as if it was an empty graphic novel spread, and I'm like, this is satisfying.
Oh. Lena draws comics, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
I do not draw comics. Oh. I don't draw at all.
Really?
Yeah. I guess I liked drawing as a kid, but I don't know.
Emily, remember when my brother came on the show and he's like, I want to be an architect. He said that, but like, I think it's going to kind of be much harder because he's used to drawing people. But I think he's got it because he started building a tiny house.
Oh, yeah?
And also, I think it's sad how, like, for me, how you guys are all, like, I just made my own style after that because I realized that I don't like how I tried to do, like, the big eyes. And most of my stuff I just stole from one of my friends who's better at drawing. Yeah, but everyone's always like, oh my god, I love your art, even though it's unoriginal. I have one style that I don't like that's very, very original.
But you don't like it?
Yeah, I don't like it. That's why I stole my friend's art style.
Well, you still have plenty of time to develop your own style.
Yeah, you really just kind of have to come into your own. I've drawn things in one style and then drawn them in another style, and I am perfectly comfortable in both styles, but these two styles look like they were drawn by completely different people. And it doesn't bother me too much, but sometimes I do look at it and I'm just like, why'd I do that? Usually, it's because I'm lazy and don't want to draw feet the right way. Because feet are difficult, and hands are difficult, and I hate both of them. which is why I will then go back to drawing dragons. Because sometimes I don't want to draw human hands. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, nice. Dragons. Yeah. It's satisfying to draw their wings. And I'm just like, yeah.
So I know your brother, you said your brother wasn't that into that edition of Ruby.
Yeah.
But how are you feeling about it?
It's very good because this is like one of the last books and it's about Yang, who is Ruby's big sister. And it's very good. That's all I can say.
Okay. Are Ruby and Yang, you said?
Yeah.
Is the sister?
Each letter in the title is the initial of a name in their team. I watched the first and second season of the show, and then I lost interest in the third season. So it's Ruby, Weiss, Blake, and Yang. All, and they live in a world where color is very important and very held in esteem because they had a period of, if I remember right, like very low creativity, and then they pretty much had what is basically a renaissance, and colors became... and creativity became very important again. Yeah. So a lot of people started naming their children after colors and identifying them with colors. So Ruby is red, Weiss is white, Blake black, and Yang yellow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that kind of thing. There's kind of a theme going on there.
Are they adult characters or are they
teens?
They're,
I think, 18. They're around 17 or 18, I think.
So they're like old teens or young adults.
I remember them being like... 15, but Ruby, since she got moved up like 2 or 3 years.
Ruby's the youngest.
She's like 13 or 12 years old.
I thought they were much older. I thought they were high schoolers around like my age or 17 or so.
Oh.
At least in the show they are. They might be different in the book.
Maybe the books start younger. The
books may be a bit different.
No, they're like still in school.
Yeah.
So they're like school age. Though.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they're like.
But I mean, it's a fantasy 15. Like battle school, so
yeah,
you know, you really have no idea.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure like Yang was like, oh, I'm 15. Some part of the show I don't remember. And anyways, like every season comes out like every year, so like doesn't that mean that like they turn like a year older?
I don't know. The time in a TV show usually doesn't correspond to a time outside of it, because Gravity Falls went on for 3 years and they
the
aged
Simpsons
1 year.
Never age.
Yeah, I thought they were older. Yang doesn't look 15 anyway to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, my friend got me into the show and I watched 2 seasons of it. And that's basically what I remember from their like world building, is that's the reason everyone is named after colors and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But the comic is, or the manga is black and white, right?
For the most part.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
except for the fan art portions
yeah,
in the back.
But then
it is
like,
in black and white.
It goes to fan art and then like it goes to just one specific story, and it's called King of the Sisters, and like she's fighting a giant Grimm, which is like the monsters that they have to fight.
That's the
and
monsters
then
that they fight, and they go to monster fighting school to fight the monsters.
Yeah.
It's that kind of story.
It's a good place to learn how to fight monsters.
And then the rest is just black and white.
So you get to imagine the very important colors.
Yeah. Or you could just
you could
watch
color it
the
in.
Show.
Yeah.
Make it a coloring book.
Yeah.
Don't use marker though. It'll ink through.
Except Ruby's hair. I cannot color in hairs that are like really dark.
Yeah, I believe her hair is actually like a black or something.
I'm pretty sure it's like black to red. I know it's red at the tips.
But yeah, it was a really good show for the seasons I watched it, and then it kind of lost its quality after season 3. But I do remember my favorite character. I don't think there is a purple character. Nope. My favorite character, I think her name was Neo, named after, like, Neapolitan ice cream.
Yeah,
because she had the white,
Neo.
Pink, and black color scheme going on.
Yeah.
That was my friend's favorite character, too. So I may have been a bit biased. She told me a lot about that, but it was all right.
I know how the creator got the idea for Neo. He was, like, eating Neapolitan ice cream, and he was like, oh, I wonder what another character should be. And then he just decided to name her Neo, gave her the colors.
Yeah.
And boom.
Boom.
I appreciate Neo because she's very, very short, and it's obvious in the animation that they make her look very, very short. And I'm also a very, very short person, so I appreciate when that happens. I'm like, yes.
Trust me.
I am also 5'2" and
Wait,
a quarter.
What? Trust me, you're probably taller than my sister, and she's 20.
Very small.
And I am 9 years old, and I'm taller than her. Yes.
That's tough for her.
Be a giant. Yes.
Gentle giant.
Yes.
Well, I don't have too much time to talk about a book, but I'll quickly talk about one. I'm not going to talk about Guts because you're reading that, so I'll wait and talk about it with you when you're done.
Okay.
But I will talk about a book I just read this past week I think they're going by Kaysen Calendar now. So the book cover says Karen Calendar, but I'm pretty sure their name is now Kaysen Calendar. And the book is called Hurricane Child, and it's got a beautiful cover. Ooh, ah.
Ooh.
Speaking of colors, there's lots of colors on this cover.
Ooh.
And it's about a 12-year-old named Caroline who's born during a hurricane on Water Island, which is near St. Thomas. And she feels like she has very bad luck for a number of reasons. She's bullied at school. She can see things that other people can't see. And her mother one time left home and traveled around and then never came back.
Oh no.
And So she lives with her father. And so she's pretty lonely and she has no friends. And then one day a new student named Kalinda turns up. And Kalinda seems very special. And soon Caroline learns that Kalinda can also see things that other people can't see. And they form a little bond. And Kalinda agrees to help Caroline look for her mother. One of the things she sees is a woman in white. Yeah. And so there's a mystery around who's the woman in white. And then the mystery of, like, what happened to her mother. And it's very nice book. I listened to it on audio, but I also had the physical book that I borrowed because it was so pretty. But no pictures.
Aw, that's sad.
That's okay. It's got the beautiful cover.
Yeah, it is.
It's
really
nice to
pretty.
Look at. And it's a middle grade novel, so.
So basically middle school?
Yeah, instead of on that age.
Okay. Middle school or upper elementary, yeah. I think could read it too.
Can I borrow that book for a second?
You may borrow it for a second. Okay. Yeah, so it's a very nice book. It's a pretty quick read. It's not too long.
Quick reads are nice.
Yeah. And then I've read some other books so far this year, but maybe I'll talk about them another week because we're out of time for today.
Oh, no.
But we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. And we hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Happy reading.
Bye.
Happy reading. Bye.